Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12. I was thinking before I read, we're going to board with and look at verses 13 to 15. I was thinking, Brother Jeff was reading about how the scriptures in the Old Testament, it speaks of preaching of the word. It says the burden of the word of the Lord. Oh, who is sufficient for these things? I think to myself, standing before, surely, some of God's elect, thinking of the responsibility that a man has to comfort the people of God. That's what the Lord said. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Boy, how comforting is to hear the Word of God. Precious, precious times to be able to be here. I'm glad that the Lord has allowed me the privilege to be with you. The Lord told Adam concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam and Eve did eat of the tree, and they died. Spiritually, immediately, and eventually, physically. A man now, because of Adam's original transgression, is ensnared by sin. And just as the Lord told Adam, in the day that you eat, and you know that he didn't die physically that day, but he did die spiritually. The Lord told him, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Because of Adam's original transgression, man is dead. Any ability to act toward God in an acceptable way. Apart from the illuminating grace and power of God's Spirit, man cannot free himself from the bondage of sin, death. John 6:65 says this, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. I want you to turn to Matthew 19 for a second. Hold your place in Proverbs. Turn to Matthew 19. Matthew 19:24. Now listen to the words of our Lord. You know what a blessing it is to be able to read the Word of God and to bow to it. Lord, as you say, reminds me of Peter. You know, they were fishing all night. The Lord standing there, he asked him, said, you caught anything? No. He said, well, cast your net on the other side. Peter said, we fished all night. but at your word. Or what a blessing. Man by nature is going to argue with God. Matthew 19, verse 24. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, now let's look at these next words. With men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With men, pertaining to man, anything whatsoever to do with man's ability, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. Who then can be saved? I'll tell you who can be saved. Those that God saves and tells them about it. God saves men on purpose and then tells them about it in the gospel. What comes first? Salvation or calling? Who hath saved us and called us with the Holy Ghost? God saves men first and calls them. And they come because He's already made them alive. Men don't come to be made alive. God saves them and then calls them. Almighty God must do something for a sinner that a sinner cannot do for himself. Let me tell you what the world's thought of salvation is. That by throwing a rope to a struggling sinner in this life's river of woe, that sinner can be retrieved from the depths of the river of woe. Throwing him a lifeline. You ever heard that song, Throw Out the Lifeline? Do you know what the scripture teaches? Is that a corpse is being washed down the river. And God Almighty saves and gives life. Just like what you just said. Lord, save you, sink it. Lord, save me. When it comes to salvation, that corpse is dead. He's not out there struggling with a lifeline and grab hold and hang on. If he hang on, Lord, pull him in. No. The corpse is dead. In fact, I doubt very seriously if it's even floating. Usually they just sink. They got to go out there and get them. They're on the bottom. Without me, the Lord said, John 15, 5, you can do nothing. And you have been quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So it's a scriptural truth that man, unregenerated by grace, is captive to sin and to Satan, to himself, and he has no ability to change it. He can't. That anybody even is brought under the sound of the gospel is by the grace of God. That's why I say, I tell myself this first. I I try to encourage myself first. Invite somebody to come. You say, well, you know, the Lord's going to save them if He wants to save them. I know that. He might use you to invite them. Who knows? As I've said before, somebody brought you. Somebody brought you. Somebody was the means. Somebody was the mouthpiece. God uses means. Obviously, some have heard. Some have been regenerated. But my question this morning is this. What's the evidence of spiritual life? I want to know that. I've heard men preach on that. What is a believer? What is a Christian? Something like that. And do you know of the messages that I've heard before? As I said just a little while ago, you know what? I'm so forgetful. Somebody say, "Well, I've heard that preached on. Do you remember what you heard?" No, I don't. I don't either. I need to hear it again. Turn with me to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. I'd like to read starting in verse 35. This scripture gives us a sound foundation on which to answer this question. Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle, useless, void word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, good things. Talk about some good things. Good man, out of a good treasure his heart, brings forth good things. Honorable, agreeable, upright. Now this is the first thing I know about a good man. And the Scripture speaks of that. You know, people say, well, there's none good. No, not in themselves. But the Scripture sets forth that a good man, therefore we qualify that statement and we say this, in ourselves there's none good. Not one. So I know that in myself, I am not good. I know in me, Paul says, that is in my flesh, in my old man, in my old nature, as I am born in Adam, there dwelleth no good thing. What does that mean? That means there's nothing there of God. Because God is good. Remember that rich young ruler who came to the Lord and said, good master. He said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So when we say a good man, do you know what he's talking about? One that Almighty God has imparted life. That's the rebirth. That's born again. That's regenerated. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. I'll put my law in you. A good man. One born of God and made to be good before God Almighty only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, how many times do we all need to be reminded? Here's a believer. You got a believer. One man. One man. And in that one man, two natures. One of them that absolutely will do nothing but despise and hate God Almighty. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. No reform. No straighten up and fly right. No turning over a new leaf. It's a body of death. That's what Paul said. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then on the other hand, in that believer, there's a new nature that does not sin. And that new nature, as I said last week, that does not sin. Just, I'll use this as an analogy, and you that understand will understand what I'm saying. When the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, Psalm 40 said, mine iniquities, speaking of the Lord Jesus, mine iniquities, He owned them. He owned them. Mine iniquities are mine. He owned them. Those were His iniquities. He bore them. He had borne our iniquities. That word is gravity, impregnated. I mean, that's a close relationship. His iniquities. He said, mine iniquities have taken hold of me. In the same sense, a believer, one born of God, though the Scripture sets forth that that which is born of God sinneth not, the believer, seeing his own nature, that believer admits, I own those. You say, the believer says he owns them, though he did not commit them. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Boy, I'm telling you, this is a struggle, a war, a battle. But here's this battle going on. This good man out of the good heart brings forth good things. Made good by the grace of God. New creature. A new nature given him. By the grace of God. New desire. New will. And out of that good heart. That new heart. His mouth. The Scripture says. Speaks. And even while he's speaking, he's struggling. There's a heart there that is just, he's so thankful to be sitting and hearing the gospel of the Lord that he loves. And his old man is sitting there wondering, what time is he going to be done? Same guy. Proverbs 12. Verse 13 says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. A good man. What's the evidence of him? Out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. And Proverbs 12:13 says, the wicked is snared. Here's the literal of that. The snare of the wicked is in the transgression of his lips. You realize by listening to what he says, you realize the snare that he's in. What do you mean? If you mean that a man that sets forward his security to be in something that he's done, I am right before God because I gave my heart to Jesus. No, you're not. Not by works of righteousness that you've done. The snare is revealed. That's what that's saying. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Naturally speaking, you know, a liar has got to have a good memory. Because sooner or later he's going to forget what he said. A man unregenerated by the grace of God does not have the ability to be able to speak consistently with what the Scripture's got to say about salvation. He's snared. Because there's no heart of belief and trust in Christ, he's inconsistent. That's what he's snared with it. His speech betrays him. That's what they told Peter. You know, that's not saying, but that's what happens. A man's speech betrays him. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he start naming off all these things that they've done. The Lord said, many will say to me in that day, haven't we done many wonderful things? We did this or that and the other. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in yourself. But the just shall come out of trouble. That's what it says. When Almighty God in mercy gives a man a heart, it is then that that heart cries out for mercy. That's what Jeff was saying. Almighty God, old Peter walking on the water, he saw the trouble. Almighty God had already given him a heart to cry out. When he cried out, Lord, save me, the Lord gave him a heart. He had a desire to cry to the Lord spiritually. When a man cries, he cries unto the Lord in absolute need. Verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Obviously, by the grace of God, others profit when they hear the words wrought by the Spirit of God through the words spoken by a believer. When the Spirit of God gives a man, let me say it like this, a heart to speak, you profit. If the Lord's given you a heart for the glory of God in Christ, you profit when somebody speaks. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. But you know what? I profit too. I need to hear what I have to say. These words are not mine. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a voice. If I say anything inconsistent with these scriptures right here, woe unto me. Psalm 145, 10 and 11. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Oh, what a blessing it is to magnify the Lord. Praise Him, bless Him. What dignity He gives to our conversation. Isn't that? You ever notice believers get together and I say, just give it a second. You know, all the little chit-chat you need. Before you know it, they're talking about Him. That's what they want to talk about. As I've said before, listen to what a man's got to say. He'll tell you what's on his mind, what's on his heart. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. How I thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to speak honorably concerning Him. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. That word due there means his. His. Not the same. His. In due season. When it pleased God. He who works all things after the counsel of his own will. A word spoken in due season. How good it is. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The recompense. What's due? That's what it says. The recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The devil asked the Lord, doth Job serve God for naught? I'll tell you this, no man has ever served God for naught. I mean, the mere, how would you name the benefits of giving a heart that would bow to Him? How? If you had one day left, and it was today, and you had the privilege, the honor to hear and sit and listen to the gospel of God's grace, that is what you got. This is what you have. You got this. This is it. You're not going to leave this building. Just a few minutes. You're going to leave this world. This is it. Do you realize, do I realize the privilege that we have right now? This is it. This is what we've got. The recompense of a man's hands will be rendered unto him. Romans 2:6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Oh, let's don't forget, the recompense of a man's hands is never going to be considered according to a man's merit. No, I'm not saying that. Those accepted are accepted in the Beloved, robed in His righteousness found in Him, and will hear these words. Now think of it. Robed in Him, found in Him, chosen in Him, kept by Him, given faith from above, because all men, Scripture says, have not faith. Walk through this earth struggling, trying to pray, trying to hear, trying to read a few verses and realize, let me go back and read that again. I just don't even remember what I thought. And then to hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How could I ever hear those words? One reason. Because of Him. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Lord, when did we do that? Oh, by the grace of God, believing Christ, those things that we do, believing Him, by the mercy and grace of God, think of that woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything else. Came to Him and touched the hem of His garment. He said, your faith made you whole. The object of your faith made you whole. The reward of a believer is Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Him. But the recompense of a man's hands apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be eternal damnation and judgment based totally on that man's rejection to believe that salvation was all of grace. Last verse. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, you know, the way of a believer, or when I say the way of a believer, this is what I mean, the way to the Father. The way. Our Lord clarified that. I am the truth. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So the way of a believer is Christ. The way of a fool is himself. His own ability, his own self-righteous works. Here's a good rule to remember. Any supposed way to God that you think has merited salvation by your works or by your free will or by your effort is wrong. It's wrong. quoted that scripture, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. You know, when we use the word mercy, you know what that implies? We're guilty. We're guilty. Nobody needs mercy except somebody that's guilty, caught by the law, standing before the judge. You got one or two options. Either God is going to show mercy or God's going to judge you. One of the two. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Man by nature sees no need of direction, no counsel. He's going to follow his path of destruction to hell unless God intervenes. The unbeliever's chief danger is himself. Man by nature is his own worst enemy. I'll tell you this. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. But listen to this. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. There's one counselor. Who is he? He's the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. God's counselor, God's prophet. He that hearkens unto counsel. What does God have to say? Oh, what a mark of grace and proof when God gives a man or woman a teachable spirit. And they just bow and they say, like Paul said, all these things I have trusted in. I was born a Hebrew, the Hebrews, I circumcised the eighth day. I was on and on and on. All those things are done. By the grace of God, there's not one believer in here that hasn't said in heart, everything that I ever trusted in, I was wrong. Man, I'll tell you something. Man, I had a long list of stuff I trusted in. And I'd gone to confession. I had a man tell me that I was absolved for my sins. He told me that. And you know all I had to do to get absolved from them? Just say a couple of vain repetitions. And then that didn't seem to work, so I tried this other way. I had to do that a couple of times. I had to rededicate myself a couple of times because I sort of strayed. But I was right. I tried different things. Oh, the grace of God that would bring a man to hearken unto counsel. God's counsel. What does God Almighty have to say? The Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Hear Him. Hear Him. Be ye saved. Come unto me, all you that weep, heavy laden. I will give you rest. If a man does come to Him, he comes to Him because God made him willing. And he came in the day of God's power. And he came as a like old blind Bartimaeus. Man, I like that. I like that scripture. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And he did. May the Lord bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake.